When a statue of a nice word on Parshas Vayikru, the Eitav Lev says on the Pusik Vayikru, Moshe Vedaber Hashem, I love me oil, moed limer. Alright, so everyone knows that the Vayikru has a small aleph, aleph zeira. So he brings from Tzadik Echad, I think it's the Rebbe from Lublin, the commander brings it from the Choyzer from Lublin, who said that even if Hashem will tell him that he's a Tzadik, he's hearing it directly from Hashem. The Eibush is telling him, you're a Tzadik, it has to be true, because if Hashem's saying it has to be true, but he'll only be sure about it and confident that he's Taka a Tzadik for that 1 second that Hashem is telling it to him. Hashem told me right now I'm a Tzadik, I must be a Tzadik right now, but a minute later, Al Tamen Ba'atzmechu Ad Yom Moischu. Nobody should be overly confident or believe in themselves, even when they heard it from Hashem himself. But it could be I was a Tzadik a second ago, and now I'm not sure anymore. That's the extent of the Al Tamen Ba'atzmechu, that somebody shouldn't trust themselves. This is the Choyzer from Lublin saying that if he was hearing it from Hashem himself, he would only believe it for that 1 second. So he teaches the Eitav Lev, Yikra Moshe was a kriya shel chibur, as she says. Hashem was calling Moshe out of chibur, out of ahava. He loved Moshe. Moshe was a big tzaddik. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote it down with a small aleph, that it should look like v'yukar, right? Alushin mikra. That even though now there was a kriya shel chibur, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a unav and a shvalberich, he was so humble that he felt that it was just, it's such a gemacht, it was this second, it was a mikra. The fact that Hashem loved me and showed me that closeness and that trust in me, it was only that 1 second. A minute later is Vaidaber Hashem I love. Now Hashem is already talking to me, Belushin Kusha. Maybe now already Hashem is not so happy with me. 1 second later, after the Vayikra Moshe. Now, of course, obviously, we're not on the Madraig, not as Moshe Rabbeinu, and not on the Choyzer from Lublin. We're very far from any of this. We should never be too confident in ourselves. And I think this is an important lesson, Bechlal. There are so many challenges in life that sometimes we trust ourselves too much or overestimate our abilities, or we trust our experiences, the fact that till now I did well in a certain thing, you know, I must be fine. Bechlal with relationships, let's just throw that in, with relationships, you should never trust the cruise control, you know, the way that your relationship is going. Till now, it must be, it's going to go like that forever. If you invest energy and you're on top of things, when I bish yourself with the right siyata d'shmaya, of course, things could continue being very well. And if people just trust their past record, they might not notice where all of a sudden they hit a ditch and something goes wrong. And certainly when it comes to other areas in life that everyone has their own weaknesses and challenges, we should never be trusting ourselves. So on a personal level, people should always be aware of the pitfalls and the dangers of being over-trusting with anything that's a challenge that people struggle with. And I'm sure everyone knows what I mean, but I'm going to apply it to a question and see if we could take the lesson from this. Hi, you recently gave a shiur about having a couple friends over for a Shabbos Suda. This was Bahar of last year in Yiddish. Okay. I wanted to know if what your take is about a young couple having another young couple, a married sibling, over. Would the same rules apply or is that different? I just want to add that our parents don't live in the same city as we do, and that's why having siblings over is something very important. Thank you very much for your weekly shiurim. I really gained a lot from the Matzoch Rabbah. Okay, whoever wants could obviously listen to the shiur of Parshas Bahar last year in Yiddish. I didn't go back to it, like I always say when people ask me about a shiur, I don't go back to see what I said. I imagine I know what I said. I was probably pretty clear about the fact that having a couple friends over is something that should be avoided. As much as people are well-meaning or people see it to not be such a problem, I probably was pretty clear about the fact that it could bring to a lot of problems. And as much as we think sometimes, like I said before, we trust ourselves that it's okay, it's not okay. It's not okay. I know that there are different ideas about this, different standards about this. And now I'm going to talk about siblings, right, and family members. So I want to start off saying that it's clear that there are different standards. I say this when I talk about different topics. There are different standards and different sensitivities about different topics. It doesn't always dictate right and wrong. In other words, the fact that some people are more sensitive to something and others not doesn't mean that one is right or one is wrong. It also doesn't mean that the fact that some people just have a different standard means that they both are right. It's very tricky. It's very tricky to know how to determine what's right and wrong. The fact that when I grew up with something being important and you didn't, does that mean that for me it's important and for you not? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. There are certain issues and topics that in a place, in a community, where this was a sensitive topic, you should be more sensitive about it. And it's more dangerous if you're not. Because being that so much of Yiddishkeit was built on a certain topic in this community means that if you tamper with that, it's going to cause a lot of damage. As opposed to other places where it's not such a big issue, and automatically it's going to affect those people less. So there are those topics where the fact there are different standards means that if you have a certain standard and you're not living up to it, it's going to cause you more damage than somebody who didn't have that standard to begin with. There is such a thing. And then there are topics where, no, the fact that some people are just more lenient about something and less careful about it doesn't mean they're any more right, and it could mean that they're transgressing things and falling into problems that they're not even aware of or not sensitive to. So I just wanted to mention that a topic like this, about couples being together, getting together, knowing each other, men, women, and all things, the fact that there are different standards is something to take into account. I'm just putting it out there that I know there are different standards, there are different sensitivities, there are people that are extreme one way or the other, people that think that it's not a problem at all. It's no problem, we get along, what's the big deal? So we're friendly, neighbors, cousins, families, friends, clients, customers, and there are people who are much, much more makpid on that. And without going to right or wrong, I'll just try to give a perspective, and I'm clarifying that I know that there are different ideas about these topics. Now, the idea in general of closeness or interaction or relationship when it comes to opposite gender, it's an issue. It's an issue. The fact that, now I'm going back a little on what I just said, but the fact that some people take it lightly and are less sensitive doesn't mean it's not an issue. We have a Shulchan Aruch, one of the few places, very few places in Shulchan Aruch, where it says the words Mo'id Mo'id, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the only place in Shulchan Aruch, is Yizur Mananushim, Mo'id Mo'id, Yisachik Mananushim. Having that a man should have a relationship or a connection or interaction with a woman who's not his wife or one of his immediate relatives, close family members, is a problem and something that Shulchan Aruch is teaching us to stay away from. Whether it goes into the geder of Ein Apotropos L'Arayos, a person shouldn't trust himself when it comes to anything, when it comes to women or anything like that, and even if somebody feels that, no, I'll be okay, and he has reason to think so, right? Because the last 10 years he was okay. Or the last 10 women that he interacted with, he thinks he was okay. And he thinks it wasn't a problem. And he thinks that it will be more of the same. And Chazal teaches us not to trust ourselves. You stay far away. There's a lot of zahiris that's very necessary. Very necessary. So to think that, oh, we'll sit with couples and we'll have an IC, then we'll joke around and we'll just schmooze and we'll just whatever. Again, if you're not being Mekayim, what Chazal teaches us to stay far away, then you're trusting yourself in something that you were told not to trust yourself with. Even if nothing bad comes out of it, you already violated a certain richik, a certain gator that Chazal are definitely promoting, encouraging, and dictating. It's not up for grabs, and it's something that some people just are not careful enough about. Now, when it comes to family members, obviously family is different than not family on some level. I just want to mention that the fact that couples are getting together in a family, which, you know, sometimes a sibling means that it's my married sister. So it's my married sister, so a sister's a sister, right? So for me, it shouldn't be a problem. But that does mean that my brother-in-law will be sitting with his sister-in-law. So automatically, when you have two couples getting together, there's automatically already men and women that are not immediate relatives. Just by definition, to put that out there. You know, we're not talking about two brothers marrying two sisters. I guess that would also be a problem. Right, it's also sister-in-laws. In any case, with couples getting together, if they're not related, it's definitely, I see it to be a problem. Again, everything could be done in an appropriate way, in a gentle way, in the right way. But in general, having friends and getting together and not being careful about this is a big problem. I hate adding, but I will add, that anyone dealing with people and problems has seen these problems so many times, myself included. Anyone dealing with couples, with shum bias, or whatever it is, has seen these problems up front many times. The fact that some people never saw it and never learned the hard way doesn't mean that they shouldn't think it's not there. Because talk to anyone who's dealing with couples that go away together for vacation or get together for meals or for simchas or for things will tell you that they heard the problems happen. The reason why I don't like adding this is because you don't have to hear that the problems happen to trust Chazal and to do what you're told to do. But myself included, and I'm sure anyone you're going to ask will tell you where they heard the problems that come out of people getting together and interacting, let's call it inappropriately, which that's called inappropriate when you know you're married and you're supposed to be interacting with your wife and your siblings and your mother and people that are healthy to get along with. And in the meantime, people are getting along with others. Now, of course, when it comes to a work environment and it comes to other things and other relationships, there's ways to do it. We have to be very careful. So to do it just in a social way and a geschmack way and just enjoy you know, getting together is definitely something people should be aware of. And although people have different standards, I can just tell you what I believe is extremely important, what I think that is very Torah-dic. Now, let's get deeper into this. Family versus strangers. Of course, when it comes to strangers, it's strangers. Why would you get along with, why would you be sitting at the table or interacting with your friend's wife inappropriately or closely, obviously. When it comes to family, there's every family has their own standards and systems. Now, one of the things that al pi halacha, right, when you're getting together with a family, for example, big family, a bunch of siblings, married siblings, even grandchildren, married grandchildren, a bunch of men, a bunch of women, how come you don't have a mechitza by that meal? Anyone ever think of that? How come when you have a sheva bruchas, you have different couples eating together, so you have a mechitza? The men on one side and the women on the other side. In most Heimish circles. When it comes to a family at home, most people don't have a mechitza by their meals. Now, there are those that have other standards, the men and women sit separately, but in general, many families don't have a mechitza. Why is that? One of the reasons that the poskim talk about is because there's a Rosh HaMashpucha. The fact that there's a Zayda, or a father, who's sitting at the head of the table, means that everyone is butl to him, and that's a certain structure that the poskim trust for men and women to be sitting together. With couples getting together, you don't always have that kind of protection, let's call it, or that kind of setup. Now, you can definitely ask your Ruv and your Daf Torah for any practical application of Hilchas Mechitza and any kind of halucha that this involves. And my point is not to give any clarity when it comes to anything that has to do with halucha or anything that has to do with right and wrong. I just wanted to mention that I do see where things could become a problem. Now, I'll add another thing, that sometimes when it comes to family, the problems actually get a little greater. I've seen situations where when it's a stranger, it's a stranger. So you say hello, you have a casual relationship or conversation, even if it's inappropriate and wrong, but it's still, there's a certain distance. It's not family. You barely know the person. So, hear a wink, hear a smile, hear something inappropriate and it's not good, but it's still a stranger. When it comes to family, and you might be interacting with the same person again and again, and you know certain things about that person, and you feel a certain closeness with that person, a certain heimishkeit with the person, liba gasbo, as the poskim mentioned, it could definitely be a bigger challenge. So sometimes people look at it like, well, but it's only family. Sometimes family is a bigger challenge. So this is something that you want to get clarity about. I just want to bring out that you shouldn't take things lightly and assume that it's okay. You could talk to a Ruv and you can make sure it's okay and that you're doing it appropriately. I believe there are ways to do it appropriately. There are ways to have a seating arrangement appropriately, there are ways to have conversations appropriately, there are ways to interact appropriately, and there are things that are definitely questionable. Bechlau, family life in general, right? We're talking about family versus strangers. It's very important to have family. Family is very important. There are people who don't get along with their family and they suffer the consequences of not having family life and social life and who to share their life with and who to rely on in a time of need. Now, people that think, oh, I don't need my siblings, I don't get along with them, I don't get along with my parents, this, that, they take it lightly and they suffer from it. We need family. Hashem set us up in a way that we need family, and we have family in general, right? And anyone who doesn't have siblings that live nearby, definitely suffer from that, from not having family. Family is family. Friends are friends and family is family. It's important. So the benefits of family life should never be overlooked, and they should be accessed appropriately. And then there are the challenges that people have to be aware of. Like I said, you have the challenge of comparing in a family. I've heard this many times. People are too close, and they notice where a sister-in-law or someone else is behaving differently than their wife behaves, or where a brother-in-law is performing better when it comes to taking care of his financial responsibilities or chinuch or whatever, better than their husband. And with that kind of, because you're so close, it becomes a bigger challenge. So with all the benefits that family brings, it brings challenges as well. And like I said, with this also, family brings challenges when it comes to being too close, men and women. You're too close for comfort, and it's not good. The family is a challenge. Then you have women, for example, I don't mean dafka women, but you see it more by women, who are so obsessed with family, and they're talking on the phone with their sisters the whole day and all night, they don't notice that their husband. Somebody told me this last week. He said he comes home, he's not sure if a mosquito that comes to the house gets more attention than he does. A fly, for sure not. A mosquito, you know, it takes a while, but somebody notices him. When he comes home, nobody notices anything because his wife is so busy on the phone that she doesn't even notice he walked in. By the time she hangs up the phone, she doesn't even remember to ask him how his day was or hi, when do you come, when you're going. Middle of supper, she's busy with her sisters. This doesn't happen so often when it's not family, only when it's siblings. So family causes challenges. A family has benefits, like everything in life. Everything that Eibishter gave us could be used correctly and could be used incorrectly. So having family couples that live in the same town, especially when you're away from your parents, could be used in a healthy way, and it should be used in a healthy way. Now Hashem gave you that opportunity to be near siblings, to use the right way, and to help each other, and to be there for each other, and maybe to have meals together in a way that's appropriate. But you do have to be aware of the damages and the pitfalls, and make sure that you're not doing these things wrong. So I think the short answer will be that no, family and strangers are somewhat different. I do think so, but it definitely has to be done right, with the appropriate seating and interacting. And if you're not okay with it, you shouldn't be afraid to say you're not okay with it. Which means, if for whatever reason you feel, whether it's a standard issue, I don't even know if I'm addressing a man or a woman, but if either of you feel that it's inappropriate and is bringing something inappropriate, whether it's a standard and a feeling issue, or you actually notice that it's not bringing out the best of the people around the table. As much as you'd want it to happen, because it's a sibling and we don't have anyone else. I want to do it for my brother, for my sister. She wants to do it for her brother or her sister. Or I want to do it for my husband or for my wife, because it's so important. But it's not good. If it's not good, it's not good. And don't be afraid to say that you don't feel it's good. And don't be afraid to say that you want to discuss it with a roof and make sure that it's being done right and not causing any kind of problem. Now, like everything else, you want to make sure that any kind of Yiddishkeit issue, or any issue for that matter, shouldn't turn into a shulam bias issue. You want to make sure that no sibling issue or family issue or chinuch issue turns into a shulam bias issue. And you don't want to start fighting with your spouse over if it's right or wrong, or am I obligated to do this with my siblings or am I not, etc., etc. There are many things where I see could very easily entangle into a big shulam bias problem where we don't get along anymore because we're not agreeing about this. So it has to be dealt with appropriately and gently and sensitively. You don't have to fight about who's right and wrong. You don't have to put someone else down. And you don't have to blame people for problems or accuse people of problems. But if you see something that you feel is not right, you don't have to be afraid to say it. And if you assert yourself in a healthy and gentle way, and you make sure that you're getting the Torah guidance to apply correctly to your situation, then I believe that should get you the furthest that you need. I keep on saying, if you don't have a ruv, you don't have someone you trust, somebody whose standards you go by, and somebody whose guidance you believe in and accept, then all these kind of things become problems. Every kind of issue almost, there's different standards and different perspectives and different ways to deal with, and every situation is different, obviously. You'll always need the person to guide you. But if I was able to give that amount of clarity to help you understand that, yes, it could be an issue, and it's worth looking into and making sure that it's not verifying that it's being done appropriately and getting the proper guidance to make sure that you're doing things right, I think that was well worth it. So just to sum it up, couples getting together, and specifically men and women interacting with each other, is always something to be afraid of, and not something to take lightly and just trust yourself. We don't trust ourselves when it comes to this. The fact that family and strangers is different, and the fact that there are different standards about how families work together, is something I understand. There are benefits of families, and there are challenges that come with families, and you want to make sure that you're just accessing the benefits and not giving up on any of them. You shouldn't give up on any benefit that you could have from family. But you also should be careful not to suffer from any consequence of any kind of liba gazba or any kind of other things that could, you know, get in the way of you or your spouse. And now you're with the right amount of communication and questioning yourself and doubting yourself. The right amount, not more than that, but the right amount. That's what brings out the best of people. A boy left a question on my hotline for the Bukhram Shir, and he said he has very low confidence. And he wants to know how to build his confidence, but at the same time, he wants to know if the natural lack of confidence that he has, is there a mila to it? Is it something that, you know, everything has a mila, everything Hashem gave a person has a mila? Yeah, there is a benefit to a low confidence when somebody doubts themselves and automatically protects themselves from things that they're not sure if they're strong enough to overcome. Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Alav Zeira, he was doubting himself, and I think we all have to doubt ourselves, and we shouldn't be too confident, or too sure of ourselves, or I'm okay, it's nothing, I know what I'm doing. There's always reason to doubt yourself, and with the right amount of doubt, and not too much doubt, and doubting yourself, and not necessarily doubting other people, you know, and the right amount of communication, understanding, we could get it right, and live together.